Jackie boy? Yes. No Ben yet, so just you and me at the moment.
No sign of him either.
We'll have to call the agency, try and see if we can get someone.
Good riddance.
Show starting soon, though, so a bit of a worry. You got the story? Anything that might kick us off the show? Because Ben usually brings them.
Received my stupidest injury on a football field on the weekend.
Yeah,
Got hip and shouldered in the top of the ear.
Okay.
Now there's a little divot, and it's completely purple. Oh. I don't really know what to do about it. What do you do for cartilage in the ear? Who do you call?
You just ice it. What do you mean, who do you call? I don't know. Just ice it, maybe? Did you get a free kick at least?
Nah, it was right in front of goal, and I went down. I went down for long enough for the trainer to come out, which I think is too long because it was about a 150-metre run.
Oh, dear.
I told you it was going to be a bad story.
Anyway.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.
Welcome, Magoos viewers, to our round 11 episode. I never look. Yeah, because can't one and nine. I know. And of course, the one man switched on in this operation is our newest co-host, Triple M Footies. I'll turn that around. Is Triple M Footies Thomas Beers, who joins us on the couch in what is now known as Studio A. Thomas, welcome to the Magoos.
Thanks, Jake. It's great to be here. Hello to all the listeners/viewers, however you consume the show.
Consume the show. That's what we like to say. Ben not here tonight. He's hanging out with, or he had a pre-existing contractual agreement, he told us.
With Schmitty.
With his mate, workmate, Justin Schmidt, former AFL umpire. So we're told, but I mean, I can only see the positive so far, Tom. So the bar's low. So, you know, head over the footy and do your best. Also plays reserves football as well. So really...
most importantly.
Really built for the occasion. Yeah. So obviously,
those are my credentials, if nothing else.
if nothing else, you'll fit in. So we've actually had quite the week in footy. You're obviously all over it with your work with our good friend Rudy at Triple M, who... Shout out to Rudy.
Friend of the show.
Your boss.
A friend of the show, yeah. Is he your boss?
He's the sports lead.
Nah, nice term. So he's been there longer. So I guess the biggest footy story of the week, gentlemen, was that Brad Scott has... stepped down, been moved on, however we want to call it. He's no longer the coach of North Melbourne. It all seemed to happen pretty abruptly Friday afternoon to evening, whereas some players didn't even know it had happened on the Saturday heading to the game. So, yeah, a little bit of a mess out there at Arden Street, but it seems like he's the greatest coach of all time, the way they've farewelled him since then.
Yeah, well, he definitely had the players on side, didn't he? But, yeah, it unravelled fairly quickly with the news only coming through kind of Friday morning that he might not see out the year, and then by Friday night, kind of the cat was out of the bag that the next day would be his last game. So that really unravelled for better or for worse, but that's the nature of the business, isn't it?
Didn't it? And that leaves now Reece Shaw taking over as caretaker coach, listed as $6 chance at our enemiesportsbet.com.au to get the job. So they are our enemies. Don't get us started on them. What a year for them. No, I won't. Yeah, could we deep dive on Sportsbet?
But they want to sponsor the show.
Well, I don't even know. I don't even know if we take that. That would have to be a big sum. But so I guess what North Melbourne, you know, as they conduct their review, you know, there's just some lingering questions out there in the footy atmosphere, isn't it? Why is Brad Scott leaving? What does he have lined up? Who's coming in? Apparently John Longmire was – Mark Robinson said that if he wanted the job, it was his. But then Liam Pickering on radio in Melbourne this morning on Tuesday said that he hasn't spoken. He's got a contract, won't be happening, which, I mean, is all great stuff at the moment because he's a contracted person. Until you just leave. So who's – I mean, Tom, we'll ask you the big question straight up. We might do the rounds around here. Who's going to be the next coach of North Melbourne?
Well, I reckon Reece Shaw's in the box seat because he's got the rest of the season to kind of prove himself. And if
they don't often get the job, though, do they?
They don't, but he's got – they've shown glimpses, obviously. They haven't had a sparkling season so far. But
did sparkle against Carlton. Yeah. I will add in there.
So did most.
So did most, that's correct.
But he's going to get a good crack at it to show what he's got. You know, if he wins 8 games and comes home and they, you know, they win 10 or 11 games for the year, whatever, I think they've only won 2 or 3 at this point. So, you know, it's going to be hard to not give him the job. If he can get the players on side and he can kind of show his system works at that team, it's going to be hard to kind of find someone else. So I'd put him in the box seat at the moment. Who do you think?
Well, before I get to who I think, which will be correct, obviously, it's interesting because usually when a coach is sacked, it's at the point of no return. So the players are obviously, you know, like the club's done all their due diligence in terms of what does the leaders think and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, the players weren't necessarily looking for that breath of fresh air. So I just think it's going to be interesting how it all balances and how it sits. And North Melbourne will be a really good watch over the next, as you said, 8 to 10 weeks just to see how it all falls for them. Because, you know, I mean, Reshaw was at the club, so he's obviously knows the system. But, yeah, how much time does he have to change anything he wants to change, and how receptive will the players be to the change is also going to be a very interesting point. But I think the man in demand come the end of this season will be former Carlton coach Brett Ratten and St Kilda assistant coach at the moment. I think that, you know, the in vogue term at the moment is that all these coaches will be better second time around.
Michael Voss
would definitely be in the same category. And I mean, he might not be the big name that John Longmire might be, and if he does decide he wants the job, he'd probably be a fair chance of getting it, John. But if we're to believe what we're told, and I like to take people on face value, as you know, Thomas, that it will probably won't be John Longmire. But, yeah, I would suggest that Brett Ratten might be the man. Jackie Boy, you're the man with the finger on his pulse over there. If you've got to give us a name for the North job, who is it?
I think it'll be Ratten as well.
Yeah, right. Where'd you get that opinion?
What's that?
Nothing. No, good to have you here. Just a yes man, Jack. Very good.
Yeah, I should have backed you up.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, Ratten was obviously stiff at the time to get the chop from Carlton. And then, yeah, he's obviously gone away. And I think the impact he's had on St Kilda this year has been really, really positive. And I think he's, yeah, certainly put his name up in lights.
I think the other factor of that is that Ratten obviously at St Kilda at the moment, that there might be an opening there, and I think that would be the big that would appeal to him. He's already in there, knows the players, and he's spent a couple of years. He's obviously had an impact already this year. I think they only won 4 games last year, and they've already won 5 at the halfway point. So
you really low hanging fruit in it if you're choosing between North Melbourne and St Kilda job. Like, I mean, God, anyway, doesn't it?
At the end of the day.
Yeah, it's very true.
As well.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, at least there's history there. We have to land on the history, trust me. So before we move off Brad Scott, we saw one of the more remarkable things that we've probably seen in recent times, which was looked a bit theatre-ish, didn't it? Like a bit like bit reality TV, as Brad Scott charges onto the ground at 3-quarter time and just gives long-time critic David King just a little bit of a clip, which was just bizarre behaviour. Like, obviously they've had their differences of opinion, and David King being the premiership champion at North Melbourne has not been backward in coming forward of his criticisms of Scott. But
2 fully grown men carrying on like that in a public domain in front of 30,000 people at Marvel Stadium. Like,
it's just, but, and then Scott
carrying on like children. It was very, very strange. And like, Scott, what did he have to prove? Like, what is that going to, at the end of the day, what was he trying to achieve? Like, brushing. He didn't bump him. He didn't. He just
got too close for comfort.
That was about it. But it was,
what was
could David King coach the Roos? There you go. That really throw us back in the works.
You know, David King has a lot of opinions, but I don't think he's much of a coach. He was at Richmond for about a year, and then they moved him on pretty quick smart.
You have the stats to back him up, though.
Yeah.
Down in the lab.
Yeah.
Damn. Imagine having to go to the lab every Monday morning for your review. Wouldn't be pretty. Very bizarre. And then Brad Scott, you know, trying to justify the press conference by saying, oh, he's past putting shoulders into people. He did it once to David King and he didn't respond at the Gabba or something all these years ago.
There. Yeah, I've never touched him, but I ran through him 15 years ago.
Yeah, very weird. Maybe it's time for Brad to have a bit of a holiday, which you'll get. But
senior coaching's got the best of it.
Yeah, moving on, there were some other big footy stories. Jack, your mate Gary Ablett did his best to make sure he could head over to watch some of the NBA finals by the looks of things, and finally, third time was lucky with his his smack on who did he hit this Miles this week, wasn't it? Who was his latest victim?
Yeah.
And he finally got rubbed out
for a couple of weeks to have a week off.
Yeah, but, my man the MRO finally got a hold of him.
Yeah, Danger went down and Scotty said, "We need you," and he was probably spewing about that, so he just decided to go out there and whack a bloke.
Whacked him. So he gets his week, and the MRO finally had to get rid of Gaz.
Sword, didn't he? No, it was inevitable. You can't let it all three.
Can you imagine hitting people in
that? The outrage if he had gotten off for the third week in a row. It
would have been ridiculous.
Incredible. But yeah, no Gary this week. But I mean, the Cats will get back to Dangerfield and everything will keep moving on. But I guess the probably what's sort of emerged as maybe the biggest story of the week with the Brad Scott stuff, but you know. One of the more, again, another bizarre thing you'll see is the Dale Thomas saga that's come out now. Well, he's been demoted back to the VFL for this week after it's revealed that he had 3 to 4, quote, glasses of wine on Friday night, some 40 hours out from Carlton's game with St Kilda.
What's your take on that as a Carlton person? Because for me, it's not a big issue. Because I don't go for the team and I don't really care, but you are far more invested than I am.
I just think that, and like I've seen the mixed reaction on Twitter of people that have said, you know, like, oh, Carlton is, or, I mean, Carlton could solve world hunger and someone would find a problem with it, I think, like, you know.
Yeah.
But I think he's obviously, and the thing they've suspended it or they've put him back to the twos, whatever, because he's obviously broken a team rule. So if there's rules in place, then. You know, which at an AFL club, I would likely say that it's anywhere from 48 to 72 hours before a game, no alcohol. And if you have to, for whatever reason, if you're having a social dinner or whatever, do it quietly and have a glass of wine or a beer
similar
with dinner
to
or whatever.
Stephen
like
Stephen May situation where the team rule was just, if you're in rehab, you don't drink at all.
Yeah, and so.
And I'm sure that Carlton have a similar rule in place and he's obviously
and
gone
it,
out of
it
that.
It would just be as open shut as anything for the leadership group who would sit down and go, right, these are our rules. So if it is 48 hours before a game, was he drinking 48 hours before a game? Yes, bang. And it's not like, oh, Carlton, this, that, you know, players, it's the optics of it. It's. The fact that he clearly broke a rule, he was driving 70 kilometres in a 60 zone, so he gets penalised. Like, but
and
I just
he's a
don't.
Senior player, so and, they've
and,
made an example.
And yeah, and I mean, you know, you would hope that it would be the same for anyone. Yeah. The fact that it's a senior player, you know, like it's just a bizarre move from his point of view. Mm. Like, you can't see what's going through his head to be thinking that that's an acceptable. And I mean,
just the bloke who's won his flag and is just taking his paycheck at Carlton.
Yeah, and he's just happy with literally. I'm not sure.
20 every week.
Not sure what he's doing, Dave, because he's been quite good this year.
Well,
and
he's not there for his kicking. So.
Yeah, and he has been quite good, but I'm not sure what he. And he's taken full responsibility of it all, but yeah, I'm not sure what was going through his mind there. And then Thomas, you were live on hand at the mid-season draft last night in one of the most exciting nights in AFL VFL history.
What a spectacle. There was plastic tables and chairs out in the cafeteria and, you know, half the clubs didn't even show up because they didn't have a pick, so.
What a shit show.
Oh yeah, it was an
incredible.
It was an incredible night. We had down there with work commitments, and it was we weren't quite sure what we were expecting to get, but
you got it.
We didn't get anything, so yeah, it was a little bit of a anti-climax there because everyone was thinking that there'd be a big headline, someone would get a second chance, someone, you know, make a bold call, and there was that one with Marlon Pickett, but they were expecting kind of, you know, Michael Barlow or Alex Johnson or someone, a bigger name who'd been spat out to kind of get their lifeline. But most clubs kind of just stockpiled their list and got on with it and pulled blokes out of obscurity.
Mm. I guess the, as we've seen today, Ryan Gardner would debut for the Bulldogs.
That's a good story.
Most people sort of, I think, thought that, well, no one will debut straight away. You'll learn the system. But he was on their VFL list, of course, after coming from Geelong, previously listed there. So, I mean, it's not too much of a step. He was just playing their twos but wasn't listed. So he comes straight in, and Bulldogs obviously riding that that good news story with a bit of social coverage, which is good for them. But, yeah, so he'll step straight in. But even, you know, DeLuca for Carlton, you know, he'll take a little bit to – even if they do play him, I mean, we've got to be realistic. The fact that, you know, we're not just going to pluck – people aren't just going to pluck Tim Kelly because they've been trying to do it for years and years, and it seems like it's only Geelong that can do it. So
It's only Wellesley.
The only other guy who –
You know him, do you?
Yeah, nicknames.
Look at him over there in his cat's beanie.
Smug bastard. It's to hide the ear. It's to hide the purple ear.
Please, for all of us. Yeah. Pull it right down.
Outside.
Stop listening halfway through.
the only other mail that we got out of that night is that Will Snelling was picked up by Essendon and might be a chance to get a game in the near future, dominating in the sample. So Dodoro spoke about that in his presser. So that's a Magoo's exclusive.
There you go. There you go. Although you did say Dodoro spoke about it in his presser.
Yeah, but no one was at the presser. So. Everyone had packed up and gone home.
And Tom, just before we close out the first segment, which you've performed very, very nicely in, your favourite Indigenous round at Guernsey? Thought they were all very good.
There was a lot of really, really good ones. Mm. So we did a lot of coverage of it on our socials at Triple M Footy.
I was going to say, not us. We didn't do anything.
But yeah, we were blown away by the standard and the quality of them. Which they just keep getting better and better every year. But I reckon the one that stood out, I reckon Brisbane's
one was an absolute belter.
So, that's
so cool.
I like GWS's one as well.
Yeah.
Mm. Just didn't get as much notoriety.
What do you think of the Cats one?
Yeah, it wasn't...
I like the Cats one.
I like the Cats one. I just think there's a few more better ones out there. But yeah, that Brisbane one, my God.
Yeah.
That was head and shoulders above the rest.
Yeah, they're certainly nailing that week or year in, year out now, aren't they?
I'm glad they backfire on me as well.
Tom, you've been fantastic in the first segment. Let's get to the conference call and see how you track with a couple of callers.
Looking forward to it.
Tom, your first ever Game of the Week conference call coming up now. So we looked at the fixture and we decided that it was a little bit boring. So we just went for the two old rivals and two people that we knew we could get supporter wise on. So
guaranteed to get a couple of nuffies from the big clubs, aren't you?
Yes, and we didn't have to look too far to get a nuffie either. So the former host of this show, the former host of this show, Ben Franzini, joins us to defend his Bombers, and soon to be eloper, Tristan Stead, moving out of the country. Just before he goes, he wanted to feature on the Magoo. So thanks to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, we managed to make that happen. And Tristan joins us as well. Gentlemen, welcome to the Magoos. Ben, probably for the last time.
G'day, boys. Thanks for having me, lads.
You're very welcome. Tristan, as the Blues have gone through some tough times and they don't seem to be getting any easier, we'll start off with you. Why do you think the Blues can get the job done Sunday afternoon at the G?
Oh, look, it's just got to be time, doesn't it? I think the boys have got to do something. We've been going for far too long with them doing absolutely nothing. So, look, I think with Daisy going out for a week now, maybe it's a wake-up call that the rest of the playing group needed to actually pull their fingers out. Up against the old foe, the Bombers, you never know what they're going to dish up on the day. So, look, I'm really just walking into a dark room with my fingers crossed, hoping that there's nothing there to shoot me, basically. So,
well, very interesting.
And Ben, why are the Bombers going to win this weekend?
I think Tristan raises some very good points. I would just say, long time listener, first time caller, boy. Thanks for having me on. I hope it's all going well.
You don't listen to the show.
I'm not hoping Andy Ben for you guys. Not sure how I got demoted. I'm not sure if you already told the story, but I hope it was truthful, Jake. I hope my side of the story was shared lightly there.
Yeah, your side of the story will probably be shared in a tell all on a current affair, I'm tipping, in a couple of weeks' time when you're living in the gutter or something.
I do have Tracy on the blower at the moment on the other end, so I've got to be quick. But I think Tristan actually raises some pretty good points. Carlton aren't in a great position, neither are the Bombers. However, I think with Daisy going down, I think that gives the Blues a much better chance of beating the Bombers this weekend because he's no good. Has never been any good. But mind you, to be honest, I'm very nervous as an Essendon supporter because Carlton always seem to get the chockies against us no matter where they are on the ladder, which is disheartening to watch. But hopefully we can actually rock up, even though we've got a few injuries at the moment. Hopefully we can actually show some promise on the weekend.
And how much of a role do you think those injuries will impact on the team? Like, Dylan Cheel under a cloud, Stringer's already been ruled out. There's a big hole in the team now. And is this the perfect week for the Blues to pounce?
Yeah, so is Cheel still a day-to-day sort of thing?
That's what we're hearing, yes.
Day-to-day. At time of recording, which is Tuesday, we should say, for those listening perhaps in retrospect.
Yeah, look, as someone who wants to win on the weekend, I hope he sort of gets up. But as someone who's a long-time fan of Essendon. I think they need to do the right thing and probably rest him because we do have a knack for bringing players back a bit early. In terms of structure, we've got a couple of fill-ins like McKernan and stuff like that. So they can fill in that role down that forward line. So, there's a few boys with their hands up, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be one of those battles, I think, on the weekend.
See, and without trying to take over here, obviously, as a Carlton supporter, I'm more worried about Essendon now that they've got everyone out. I'm sort of hoping that because now Essendon sort of come out, you know, they bring in some guys who get a bit more of an opportunity. I'm now more worried that they might come out now and play with a bit more freedom, whereas if all their good players were playing, they might tend to, you know, maybe clam up a little bit and go into their shell and express and, you know, play with that pressure on them. So I'm a little bit more worried now that Stringer and all these, and if obviously Smith isn't playing and then Scheel as well, I'm a bit worried that it might work for Essendon. Tristan, are you picking up the same vibes as me as a Carlton man?
Oh, look, Jake, I think it doesn't really matter what team Essendon put together on the day. I think Carlton will have their work cut out from them at any team, really. I'm not going into the weekend with too much optimism. It is going to be my last game I'll be attending before I jump on a plane. But I think you do raise a pretty good point that they're probably going in and they've got absolutely nothing to lose, almost, except the game against the bottom side. So with that said, look, I think if I'm a tipping man, which I'm not, I'd be tipping the Bombers because the Blues, although they've got absolutely nothing to lose, literally, we just can't string together more than a quarter of good footy. So, like you said, they've got people coming into the side who have a lot to prove and who can potentially hold their spot. So, I'm pretty worried as well going into the game, to be honest.
Well, there you go. Just,
I'd be terrified that Mark Bagley is going to tear you up on the MCG and really take the game away from Carlton fans.
That's the sort of player that is exactly the sort of player that would do it, though. You know, yeah. Bagley will kick five and then he'll get delisted in a couple of weeks. it'd be typical. Well, no one really
Mark
sounds like
the gun. What are you talking about?
Shush. So no one really thinks their team's going to win. But to close off the conference call here, we do ask for a winning margin for their team. So in what sounds like it might be a nil-all draw, Ben, how much are the Dons going to win by?
Just under 3 goals, I think.
Just under 3 goals. And Tristan, I mean, do you even think Carlton are going to win?
Look, in everything I've just said, it says that I won't think Carlton will win, but I'm still going to back it and say that it's going to be the Blues by the narrowest of margin. I'm going to go 3 points for the Blues.
Well, that's not the narrowest of margins, is it? Because 2 and 1 are both less than that.
You sold me. So. Yeah.
Tristan, you want to meet up for a drink pre-game, perhaps? I'll be obviously heading to the MCG Sunday. Just Tristan, not Ben.
I'd probably rather not, so we'll just probably play it by ear.
All right, excellent. Well, I won't see you then. Have a good trip overseas. Ben, might see you next week in what we're now calling Studio A here.
I can still come for a drink before the game if you want.
Maybe not. We'll talk off air. Thanks for joining us, boys. Go Blues.
Thanks for having us on, boys.
Cheers, guys. Have a good one.
Tommy Boy, you are a man of the media, and this is a segment we like to call Media What? Yes, you are. You're a big wig around Melbourne. We've seen you strut around down South Melbourne way, around the Triple M studios there, always puffing your chest out. We've got a few things to go through. We're going to get a little bit heavy now on the Magoos, where Paddy McCartan bared his soul on your station, Triple M, on the Sunday Rub. Kama has just put this together for us now, so we'll have a little bit of a listen for those who missed it. We'll come back and have a bit of a chat about it after we hear from Paddy himself.
How are you going? How are you going? The fact that all you want to do is get out there and play footy, and obviously due to the concussion situation, you can't. So firstly, how are you, mate?
Yeah, not great, to be honest. It's been tough. It's been a tough few months. I haven't really done a whole heap. I haven't been doing a lot of anything, really, and that's probably been the hardest part. I've sort of lost my footy identity a little bit, but then also my identity as a person as well, just because I can't do stuff. I can't, go to the supermarket when it's busy or go to, a cafe with my girlfriend or, drive my car or just stuff like that. So it's been hard, but the hard thing is that there's no real time frames on it, so hopefully I'm better next week, but I could be better in a year or 6 months, I don't know. So, it's been tough.
Thomas, obviously some pretty heavy stuff there on your station Sunday from Paddy, pretty deep.
Yeah, well, it caught a lot of people off guard. You know, we were kind of expecting that you'd just get the run-of-the-mill, you know, credit to the boys kind of interview, you know. Didn't have to give us much, but he really kind of bared his soul. So it was, it caught, like I said, it caught us all off guard, and the phone lit up a little bit with a few messages between us guys working, either at the ground or in the office, going, are you hearing this? Like, this is unbelievable. And the feedback on social media for Paddy and support for him has been outstanding, but it's, yeah, it's pretty raw insight to the struggles that he's going through, and yeah, hope all the best for him.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's obviously a long way back. I mean, you know, not only, I mean, playing footy seems like the furthest thing that could be possible at the moment. But yeah, it's obviously, you know, one of those things everyone talks about, the glitz and glamour of the AFL lifestyle, whatever, but I don't think even that photo last week that was out before this interview when he was sitting with Lethley, and they're obviously discussing whether or not he's going to go to the long-term injury list and what that looks like in bringing someone new in for through your favourite thing, the mid-season draft. Yeah, it was
no
just...
no brainer to put him on that
long-term. Yeah, 100%.
Now that we have the insight that we do. Yeah. No one really knew how he was tracking. But
yeah, and I mean, the whole, you can't go to a supermarket when it's busy sort of thing, and like, it's just... Yeah,
lights get to him, sounds get to him, he can't drive his car. We had Billy Brownless is obviously heavily involved in Paddy's life by his daughter, but he gave a bit of an insight to how they went to a cafe a few weeks ago now, and their accommodation was about 500 metres away from where they were having lunch, and he couldn't walk back because there was just too much going on. It was a warmish day, and you know, too many people, too many sounds, traffic, cars, whatever, so that really hit home how the real basic things for an elite athlete to not be able to walk 500 metres back to their room was a,
It's incredible, isn't it? Yeah, it's actually just incredible. Not that we like to get too deep and serious here on the Magoos, but, you know, moments like that where you do get that rare insight into the... what sometimes can be the negative world of an AFL footballer are still quite rare in the media landscape. We obviously commend Paddy for sharing your story, and hopefully, you know, we do see him back just to being somewhere closer to the person that he was and wants to be, and hopefully if that does involve footy, then we see him back in the Saints jumper soon. Some other aspects of the media that have caught our eye. We've obviously realised that a few senior players over at the Crows are missing some footy at the moment and didn't really come. I mean, Josh Jenkins has spent a little bit of time in the SANFL, but Bryce Gibbs, my former boy, was back there as well this week, and they had a bye as well, the Adelaide team in the Sandful. So it doesn't bode well for Bryce. Might spend a couple more weeks there, you got to think, even though the Crows blew a 30-odd point lead against the Eagles. But what we asked on the I don't do the socials. That's for the intern to do. Josh Jenkins, would you have him at your club in 2020? So he'll be 31 by the time the start of next season rolls around. Thomas, your response?
Well, my club being Collingwood,
correct.
I would not.
Couldn't find a use for him.
He wouldn't be fit to carry De Goey's bag. So, well,
that's true. Obviously,
I can't see him slotting into our forward line with the way that we're travelling at the moment. So, no, I wouldn't, and I can't see him fitting into many sides. Would you take him at the Blues?
No, I would certainly don't need him at the Blues. I think if we're well versed in one thing, it's big guys, especially that forward brigade. But so 48% of our Instagram followers said they would have him, and 52% said no. That was a lot more than I thought. I thought there'd be a lot of no's. Would like to break down the data. I think the obvious fit for him is the Western Bulldogs. They've also just picked up Ryan Gardner in the preseason draft to try and fill that Tom Boyd need in the short term. But I think, you know, and again, but again, at 31 by the start of next year, it's very much, and he's got a pretty hefty, I think he's on about 550, his contract. So he was, wasn't he? Yeah, a few years ago. And
what a mistake that would have been.
Well, for who? Yeah. But yeah, so interesting to see where those senior players land. And I mean, if Adelaide don't make the finals this year, then all of a sudden Dom Pike comes under the microscope. So for how much does he?
Yeah. Very hard team to read, the Crows, because they play well in patches and then they kind of drop senior players, so that makes you think that they're kind of rebuilding, but then they kind of just...
But then they're leaving out kids and... Yeah,
it's a shame. Like, Chase Jones was their first round pick and he got dropped for a couple of weeks if that's what the way they were going, but...
I know he's only Slipe of the Geelong Falcons boy, Ned McHenry. Yeah. He's always shown a lot. I mean, it's only his first year, whatever, but, you know, like, yeah, you sort of need to decide where you're at. You don't want to be middle of the road for too long and...
But even their state, they got a couple of priority state league players. They got
they traded for Carlton. They got with McGovern. Yeah, that Shane McAdam. That's who Carlton traded for McGovern. They went out
of their way to trade to get him into the club, and he's just sitting in the sample, just doing his thing that he was doing anyway.
Yes.
They're a hard club to read, and I guess we're not seeing them as closely because we're not.
Not in that region. So it's told. But Tom, you're all over media watch as we expected. But as we said, you're a man of the media. So another tick for you in that segment. We'll roll on now after this short break to the three-man weave. All right, Tommy, this is a segment we like to call three-man weave. It's had a few different names over its time. But not quick hands, because that's real getting sued territory. Yeah. And the BetEasy podcast, as we've discussed.
What's that?
Many times, the BetEasy podcast, listen to the tape. So Jack's got the list of questions that we'll just sort of bounce around ourselves like the Magoos do out on a Thursday night on the track. A little bit of a three-man weave into one. Very poorly. Keep the footies off the ground, Jack.
I'll start. Tex Walker had a bit of an incident where he shied away from that contest. Does he need to be dropped for his lack of form recently?
Nah. He's one of the best captains in the AFL.
He had a poor week last week,
a poor moment too.
I'm
going to sit like this.
Leader of your football club shirking out of a contest like that. Do you reckon it was because of the rules? Like, you didn't know if he could go in.
I think everyone just has those moments, don't they? They might just...
It looked pretty bad, but it's in isolation. He's not doing it five times a game, or, you know, this is the first one that we can kind of think of and that's been blown up because he is who he is. But, he shouldn't be dropped in my humble.
No, I wouldn't be dropping. So wouldn't be
pretty
dropping
conclusive from Jake that he thinks Tex is a massive pussy. Essendon...
Is this on?
Incident injury carnage. Is it going to be an issue?
No, as I sort of said in the conference call, I think that it might free some of them up a bit more, I reckon, the Bombers. And that's, as a Carlton fan going into this week, I'm not as... I would have rather Essendon be a bit more... Not full strength. I don't want them with all their good players, but I feel like they might, you know, that might galvanise them really being bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
I think there's always a tipping point, and you could argue that Sheil, Smith, Danaher and Stringer... could be their four most important players. If not, they're definitely in their top kind of five or six. So I think it really opens up this game for the Blues, to be honest. I think their depth is going to be tested. A bunch of their young kids need to stand up and play a lot more bigger minutes and bigger roles. So, and you know, how well do you take that opportunity?
Should Woosher be worried about his job?
I think he has to be, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
I think he has to be because they're going to have to take it. Again, they're another team that's going to have to make a decision where they want to go, aren't they? Because I think they've got enough. I mean, I'd suggest their talent's probably a little bit overrated. I mean, they brought in guys who I think they were thinking were A to A pluses and are probably just B pluses, which is okay. But, yeah, they need...
They're good players and good teams.
Yeah, something's got to give, I think, for that to, like it does at Adelaide and like a few of these other middle-of-the-road clubs. I don't know how much... And I think what works against a coach of his vintage too is that for some reason they just assume the game's gone past them. So, and if there are a couple of hot properties running around out there in the coaching game, I think, he might be under a bit of pressure.
Keeping it Essendon.
Great.
Tipper has been playing well in their wins.
Essendon.
Yeah. Really.
Did Ben write these?
No. I think we can get all the Essendon talk out of the way when he's not here.
Yeah, true.
But Tipper's playing well in the good games when they're winning, but he's not even being cited when they're losing. Mm. So
you're a barometer.
Yeah, he's a bit of
a barometer. That's the thing. Is he a barometer or is he a downhill skier? That would be the argument, wouldn't it? And almost what it says on that piece of paper.
Yes, it does. Well said.
The same piece of paper I have?
Yep.
Really?
No. Yeah, well, I would think old mate Tipper, you know, he's a front runner. He's a downhill skier, would be my summation of that, personally.
Well, it's a bit of column A, column B. It's, you know, what comes first? Is he, like you said, that barometer or is he that downhill skier? I think I'm going to lean towards barometer because...
Wow.
Yeah.
A disagreement on the couch. Yeah. Yeah, it's not a good career move.
Well, yeah.
All right, we'll get it off the Dons quickly. Kangas, obviously in a bit of strife. Should they look at trading out their big guns?
I've heard this. Carey. Yeah, Wayne Carey, well said. You read that verbatim.
Yeah,
I heard Carey say, this is very interesting, isn't it? I wouldn't be trading it, but he was talking about the fact that he didn't necessarily say trade them away, but he said that if you can get a couple of picks for like a Ben Brown or something like that, then do it. Very interesting, isn't it? Again, it depends where the new coach comes in and rates them all that.
It depends what player as well. Like a guy like Sean Higgins, who is older and probably won't be in their next premiership side, you've got to consider it. If, you know...
Go to Hawthorn and then they'll win another
four. Yeah. Something like that. But
Geelong will be licking their lips and getting another mature age recruit.
Trading pick 15... Oh, yeah, throw them a pen at you there. Trading pick 15 for Sean Higgins, and Sean Higgins wins the Brownlow and Norm Smith next year, and then Geelong business as usual. You don't want to trade away your fabric, though, do you? As a footy club, your identity.
But if there's ever going to be a clean out, it would be when the new coaching, new list, set the foundations and go from there.
Build around Pollock.
Which one would you rather? Pittard, yeah. Dear me.
And just one last one. Saw this on Facebook, the Adelaide fan that posted a shell of a pie.
The pastry.
Yeah, the pastry. My question to you guys, how did that come about? Like, how did he get all the way to his seat without knowing that there was no meat in that? Surely it wouldn't have weighed that much.
Big questions need to be asked. From all parties, from the people at 4 and
20. No, it was Balfour's. Do not drop 4 and 20 in that. They're a solid supporter of this show. It was a Balfour's pie over in Adelaide. Yeah, they've got the contract there. And... Yes, it was. It's a very bizarre sort of behaviour, isn't it? The only way it could be is if he had a stack.
Yeah.
And it's maybe it's sitting, but you got to think at some stage he's held that pie and it just hasn't.
What kind of madman is just taking an enormous bite out of the pie? Scorching hot pie, no sauce. Come on. I know, that's Adelaide, isn't it?
And he remained anonymous as well, which is like...
I don't want people to know. The punishment fits the crime, doesn't it, really?
But yeah.
Well, there you go, Jack. A successful three-man weave completed.
That was a lot more smooth than when Ben's here.
Well, there's a case building, isn't there? That's case building. That's all I'll say.
You're right, mate.
Thomas, we've come to the end of your first ever Magoo's episode. You've been incredible. Our live stream's gone berserk. You know, people are riding in like you wouldn't believe. Well, people have heard whispers. It's gone. Yeah, he was spotted walking into the what's formerly known as Studio B, so now Studio A. And the people have loved you, Tom. So thank you very much for joining us on.
Hi, mate. It's been great. I'm always sitting on the bench ready for the call up. So whenever you've got bigger and better things to do, like
hanging out with Schmitty.
With former umpires.
Then I'm more than happy to stand up, mate.
Excellent. Well, hopefully you share this on your socials and it'll diversify our listener and viewership, and we'll be off to the races. So make sure you follow us, like us, subscribe, review, all those things on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, on your podcast apps, and we'll see you next week for another special episode of The Magoo's.